The Initial Reaction Podcast is ready for the madness of March. I'm J.R. Radcliffe. I'm from Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
I'm J.P. Godorn from Spectrum Sports. I'm so ready to just beat every cliche to death. March Madness, book their ticket, dancing shoes.
This is dance the time cards.
Of year. Oh my God, this is the time of the year where you just roll your eyes every single day.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of cliche in March, but it's okay. I forgive that because March is, I really don't think this is in dispute, the best month of sports in the calendar year.
April wins because
no.
A lot of wins. That's okay. You don't understand. You're just the Cinderella of this podcast. Nobody.
Oh, come. I am much better than just a Cinderella. I'm at least a 4 seed.
You're a mid-major wannabe.
Whatever. Yeah, no, I don't do April. The early season baseball is not a thing. It used to be when I was younger, but now it's just the beginning of a long marathon. I mean, who cares about the first leg of the marathon? So I am not in on April. I am a March guy, and this is the best time of year. We're going to talk a lot about boys basketball, of course. Girls basketball, state field has been set. JP saw some playoff hockey. The Badgers are headed into the Big Ten tournament. We've got a special guest, Paul Oren, who covers the Horizon League. He's actually a Valparaiso guy like myself, but knows a lot about UWM and UW Green Bay. Some insanity going on at the Horizon League tournament that has UW-Milwaukee in the semifinal somehow as the 10th seed. So that's something we'll touch on as well. And anything else that crosses our mind, we'll be talking about it.
How can you just dismiss the Masters like that? I mean, I just don't get how you can do it.
What is the Masters? Is that a bowling tournament?
Why would you even joke about that?
I don't know. It's golf. I don't. Green is not my color. It doesn't look good on me. I don't respect green jackets. That's my problem.
You bother me.
I know. I don't like hockey as much as you do either, but you did see some state hockey, which we'll talk about. The boys basketball tournament is underway. The regionals for this past week, sectionals coming up here Wednesday, Thursday, and then, of course, again on Saturday. There's one game I want to talk about real quickly because it's a little selfish, but it ties into a project that debuted on our website at mycommunitynow.com this week, at mynorthwestnow.com specifically. It is the oral history of a 2011 game featuring the Germantown boys basketball team. They lost to Appleton East on a controversial buzzer beater. The clock didn't start very quickly, and Appleton East hit a shot which probably should have come after the buzzer. I talked to several players from that game, including Zach Showalter, senior for the Badgers, and Luke Fisher, senior for Marquette, newly engaged as of senior night, the Marquette senior night. And Steve Showalter, who was the coach of that Germantown team, did a big thing on it, got a lot of interest. It was great. And then in the regional final, Steve Showalter is no longer at Germantown. He now coaches at Menominee Falls. And in the regional final for Menominee Falls, against a team from the Fox Valley Association in Fond du Lac, there was an inbound from one end of the floor to the other. It was tipped. The clock didn't start. Guy has about an extra second to get a shot off, and he hits a game-winning three-pointer, sends Menominee Falls into the sectional semifinal with the win over Fond du Lac. It was delightful. Steve Showalter got his second and a half back.
I did not know that it came after the buzzer. I had seen the clip a couple different times from, I think, like two different cameras, but I didn't have the context. I didn't know that there was a buzzer-beating question there. I just knew it was at the last second. Now I want to go back and find that and watch. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I haven't done all the Zapruder work on it. I don't know. Other people have told me that the shot shouldn't have counted. Also, that wouldn't be on the clock operator. It sounds like it would be on the ref, because the ref, as most people know, when the ball is in play and the clock is supposed to start, the ref drops his arm to indicate that. That doesn't look like that happened right away, so that would be sort of where the confusion was. But just phenomenal timing. I got really lucky with the timing because this story has done very well for us. And then you have the sort of him being on the other side of this very same thing, which accentuates one of the comments by Appleton East coach John Milkey. You get on the right side and the wrong side of stuff like that all the time. And you have to, as a coach, tell your players, give them the perspective that sometimes this stuff happens. You have to play through the buzzer. And because random things can happen, and now Menominee Falls gets to march on and in one of the more dramatic finishes that we had at regional weekend.
That is awesome. That is very. I've seen the shot. It's a great shot. But
Cross
I did not know his name is Cross. That's right.
Yes, Cross Wilson with the big game winner, big deep three pointer to win the game.
That's fun. Are there any other boys surprises? I don't think any like top seeds have gone down or otherwise any otherwise stunning results, correct?
I do think there was a Sun Prairie went down on Saturday to Madison East. That isn't in our neck of the woods. That was a top seed.
Yeah, they deserve
to
lose.
Because they're not in our neck of the woods, because we don't cover them. Is that what you're saying?
No, because of the 2004 Section 6 hockey final. Sun Prairie deserves to lose always and forever.
Oh, yeah. Sun Prairie also lost in the state semifinals in overtime after a three-goal rally, a stirring three-goal rally, to force overtime. Muskego needed overtime. They were a four seed against a 13. Madison West had a buzzer beater to force overtime, but the Muskego won pretty handily, so that was at least a tense battle. Yeah, Pewaukee struggled a little bit with Greendale and Waukesha North in their regional to get through. It wasn't pretty, but they were the top seed. They got it done. Franklin upset Oak Creek. That's a 6-3, but Oak Creek had, I think, beaten them both times this year on either buzzer beaters or shots just before the buzzer. So some pretty exciting games already between those two schools, and not a huge shock that Franklin would win the third time around, although that brings a very good Oak Creek season to an end. Those are the things that are sticking out top of mind. Kettle Moraine, I saw them on Friday night. They pulled an upset, mild upset, but still went on the road to Sheboygan North and turned an upset before falling in the second round. So that's a pretty good rundown right there.
Okay, nice. And we have Pewaukee against Eisenhower on Thursday night, as well as Pulaski versus Kaukauna. But we have Pewaukee-Eisenhower this Thursday for our live
on Spectrum
game.
Yeah, excellent. Indeed. That'll be a good game. Probably the best game of the weekend was Brown Deer Cedarburg, 71-70. Two very, very good teams, both playing exceptionally well down the stretch. Brown Deer, I thought, was capable of pulling the upset. I think Cedarburg can go to state. John Diener, the star for Cedarburg, who, by the way, is going to hit 2,000 points next year, assuming he stays healthy, which is pretty crazy. But he hit 2 of 3 free throws, got foul shooting a three-pointer in the final seconds, hit 2 of 3 to go up 1, 71-70, and then Brown Deer missed their last second shot. So Brown Deer's a really good team staying home out of the regional. That's an example going back to last week's conversation about seeding in D2. Those teams should not be meeting this early in the tournament, but that's the way it goes. And so Cedarburg marches on. They'll have to face Beaver Dam, and the winner of that game that you just mentioned, Kaukauna Pulaski, if they want to get all the way to the state tournament. Beaver Dam was number one in the state for a lot of the year, so it's a tough road.
And correct me if I'm wrong, John Diener has already committed to DePaul, yes?
Correct, yes. Committed before this season, maybe even last season. I'm not sure what the timeline is, but yeah, one of the best players in the state, no doubt.
Beautiful. And how many days and hours will you be spending up at the rec center this weekend for girls' state basketball?
Interestingly enough, I don't know if I'm going to go. It's kind of a weird new world. We didn't have many teams that qualified for state. The two that did, they're not schools that we cover on a full-time basis, but schools that we do pay attention to and put in our paper when they're doing this well in the postseason. They're both there for the first time. Some first-timers.
I'm going to guess it's Cudahy. Yep. And I'm going to guess Martin Luther as well.
Yes, Martin Luther, which, as I've mentioned before, have some personal ties to Martin Luther. My wife teaches there. But it was very fun to watch them in the sectional final, because I don't go to high school games with a vested interest very often. So when I'm watching games, I think everyone will tell you, they're sort of cheering for their team to win that they're covering because it's a better story, better quotes, that sort of thing. But I've always resisted that impulse to just all-out cheer, of course, when a team hits a big basket or something. Well, now I'm at this game, and I'm not resisting those impulses at all. It's a very weird feeling. But yes, Martin Luther going to state for the first time. That's exciting for them. And Cudahy is a crazy story. Bob Mirande, who was coach at Grafton, won two state titles there. His departure from Grafton was kind of high profile. There was some, I don't remember all the details, but it was definitely not the most graceful of parting ways. He ends up at Cudahy. They have two really Division I kids on that team. Bailey Eichner is going to William & Mary. That's a Division I program. And Hannah Coolis is a junior and might get to that level as well. And they figured something out, man, because they were not awesome at the beginning of the year. They got pounded by this Wauwatosa East team that they saw in the sectional final. And then they turned around and beat them again in the sectional final. They beat New Berlin West, New Berlin Eisenhower. They had to earn it every step of the way. So a very exciting run for the Packers. And they're going to go to state for the first time. They've had some good players, too. So this is a big deal for them.
And I think they have won like 5 playoff games between regionals and sectionals so far. And their record right now is 19-7. So they were just a 14-7 team going into the playoffs, not something that you would expect to see. For instance, if they go up against Beaver Dam in the final, Beaver Dam is sitting at 26-0 right now. So, yeah,
Beaver Dam
a little different.
Probably going to win. Beaver Dam is the heavy favorite to win the whole thing. But, yeah, I mean, and Cudahy isn't even playing in what you'd consider the tougher half of the Woodland. They don't have to see twice New Berlin West, New Berlin Eisenhower, and Pewaukee, which are the three sort of the murderer's row of teams in the Woodland West, which we expected one of them to go to state. Now, without Cudahy, of the four of them would sneak through, but that's exactly what happened. And so they're not even seeing tougher competition with that 14-7 record, as tough as I guess it could be. But they figured it out. They got hot at the right time, and they won all the games that were in front of them. And like I said, that was a tough road to hoe, and they hoed it. It's fantastic for them.
And they hoed it.
That's probably not a good phrase. I probably will not be coining that phrase.
That's not your headline next week?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, boy. Anyway, what else?
Well, a tough ending for Germantown. They lost to De Pere, the top-ranked girls team at Roundball Rankings, which, by the way, is updated at mycommunitynow.com/roundball. Germantown fell to De Pere. Oak Creek ran into Milwaukee King, which is truly a spectacular team. We don't cover them, but they're undefeated. It's a great Division I field at the state tournament. De Pere is there, Middleton is there, Milwaukee King. It's gonna be a really, really great Division I tournament, and so very much interested in seeing those semifinal action.
Very nice. Very nice. Does that wrap up hoops?
Yeah, I mean, you saw state hockey this weekend. Your beloved Arrowhead fell in a heartbreaker, but what did you see this weekend at the Alliant Energy Center?
I think it was interesting. I only went Saturday for the finals. I think it was interesting that Thursday, according to the one and only Chuck Delsman, your colleague, that Thursday's game might have been the best between Arrowhead and Waukesha West just in terms of crowd turnout. That is a tournament that has a lot of struggles drawing fans to go see it. But Thursday was good with the crowd, and then it was an overtime game where Waukesha Co-op, which I believe is the three Waukesha schools plus Pewaukee plus St. John's, if I'm correct there. So they had a good turnout and they won in overtime to get there. And then in the semifinals beat Sun Prairie in overtime, to reach the finals against Hudson, who is a top ranked team in the state. Hudson is just extremely talented. Just watching them play, I was really impressed. They got two goals early, so they were up 2-0. Waukesha was able to get one back to pull within 2-1, and then they, you know, they believed that they had more magic left in them, that they could force yet another overtime, and unfortunately it didn't happen. So not meant to be for the Wings, as close as they could get to that state title.
Yeah, amazing that they won two overtime games to get to that final, then lost 2-1. That's some thrilling stuff for the Waukesha Wings.
Yep. It was their second appearance ever. They made it last year, got to the semifinals, but couldn't make it to state. And I think, again, if I'm correct, Arrowhead is the only team from Waukesha County who's ever won a state title. I think Waukesha is the second team to ever, well, no, not the second team to ever get there, because I think Kettle Moraine made it like maybe 5 years ago, but.
Yeah, they've been there, but University School, I think, is the only other team in southeastern Wisconsin to win a title. They won, I want to say, in 2006, but I'm pulling that out of thin air. That might not be true.
I'm going like 2010, 8. I'm going more recently.
Okay.
So, yes. Clearly, we know what we're talking about.
Yes. We are so well researched on the topics we're discussing.
How dare we not be able to pull out when teams have won state championships at the drop of a hat?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could hang with that in some circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, football, basketball. Volleyball in some cases, since that's one of my favorite sports. Hockey is not, but...
What year did I say? 2010?
Yeah, what'd you say? You said 2010.
They won in 2010. Guess what year they also won?
2006?
2006. We were both right.
Yeah, we're pretty good. We're pretty good at this.
Fantastic.
We are pretty good.
So, hockey happened. I was also covering the Green Bay area co-op team. They lost to DC Everest in overtime. Just overall, I am a enormous hockey fan. I was talking about this with Chuck Delsman and with a friend of mine who was also at the event who I played hockey with at Iowa. It's such a great event and just nobody goes. And we were trying to figure out kind of why, because in theory, I would be that target fan that they would want to go, you know, somebody who loves the sport of hockey, doesn't have any ties to either of the team. but they, you know, they would want to get fans like me, and I wouldn't go to it. Like, I wouldn't drive from Milwaukee to Madison to go watch two teams I'm not invested in. So, like, I'm part of the problem, even though I want to be part of the solution. I don't know what the solution is. Have you ever been to state hockey?
Oh, I have, yes. I saw Arrowhead win it a couple years ago, for a few years ago now.
2009. I don't know. I mean, there's just nobody goes. Plain and simple, nobody goes. And we were trying to think of other arenas, other cities it could go to. I talked to a reporter from up in the Eau Claire area, and they're building a new rink in Eau Claire that could seat about 5,000 people, which would be great. I think you'd get a lot of average fan, just, you know, unattached hockey fans from Eau Claire who would go and watch any two teams play. But, you know, nobody east of Wausau is going to make that drive. Nobody from Madison, Green Bay, or Milwaukee would ever make that drive for state hockey, even if their team was, like, in the final, you know?
Yeah, so it's, no.
It's interesting. I don't know what the answer is or how to drum up more interest in it.
I don't know. And they spread it out well with the state finals. So there is hockey, gymnastics, and wrestling all going on at the same weekend. But the big tournaments aren't that weekend, the girls and boys basketball tournaments, individual wrestling. So, yeah, you'd think that there'd be a little bit more focus on it, but for whatever reason, not the case. You weren't able to go down the street, well, not quite down the street, but in the same neck of the woods at the UW Fieldhouse, where my friends from Kakana won another state wrestling championship, baby, the ghost with the most.
Wait, why wasn't I able to go cover team wrestling?
Oh, well, because you're upset. You're upset, JP, that hockey and wrestling were held at the same time.
They're held at the same time?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I don't know, JP, but why don't you hop on that soapbox and tell us how you feel about it?
I love everything. I'm not upset at all. I think it makes perfect sense to schedule two state championship events at the same time in the same city so that you have to choose one. I don't get why people would be mad at that.
Why does it matter that it's the same city? Would it not be the same problem if it were a different city?
Well, because that would make it even harder if it was in a different city. But this, like, you could, in the past, you could cover both of them. You could give attention and give coverage to prep sports twice in one day. And now you can't. So, nice move, organization.
If I had to guess, I would say that their response is they want those things done by the middle of the day so that people who are interested in the basketball can get to regionals. And in some cases, girls' sectional games that night. That would be my suspicion.
That's a terrible suspicion. It's a state championship. You're cannibalizing your own state championships to make for regional boys' basketball.
I agree with that. And I think that there's, I mean, we don't have to have these events all end on Saturday. You know, that's how every state championship, with the exception of football, is happening on a Saturday. I don't know why we're really married to that. It could go any day of the week, right?
Yeah, the only thing I know is that, like, in the state of Iowa, they have all of theirs on all different days of the week, so you're right there. And something to be said there for Thursday was the best crowd for Arrowhead Waukesha West hockey. You want to know why? Because they got out of school to do it. You know,
what
kid wouldn't want to go? So maybe that is a better point about, forget that, move state hockey to a Friday, something like that. Have it be a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday tournament.
Yeah, I know Martin Luther's planning to take Thursday off to go check out the girls' basketball team up in Green Bay. I mean, that's a common practice. It seems like that would do well, not competing with anything during the school day. To move further west in the state of Wisconsin, state gymnastics was this past weekend. Lots of local teams doing well. Whitefish Bay won the girls' Division II title. Franklin, Muskego, Whitnall, Oak Creek, that co-op won the Division I title. That's the sixth time in 7 years they've won the Division I state championship, which is wild. Allie Yerkowitz of Bay won three individual titles and the all-around championship. She's a great story. Her mom, Karen, was battling cancer last year. I believe she's in remission now. I mean, just a really neat story that Steve Teets told last year. We'll have a link to that in the state championship story from this year. And lots of local kids winning individual titles. Brookfield freshman Lexi Penny won the balance beam in Division I. She actually edged out Waukesha kid Aaron Wagner, another freshman, for that title. Caitlin Leconte, senior, who's had a very decorated career, won the floor exercise. Also for Brookfield, so they had a very good tournament as well. Lots of great showings from Kenosha, which finished as the team runner-up. So a good finish to the gymnastics season for the Milwaukee area teams. They go all the way to Wisconsin Rapids, and every year hardware is coming back to Milwaukee from those events. So it's cool to see that.
Are there any male gymnasts?
If there are, they're
not allowed to participate.
Well, they're allowed to participate. They just don't have a WIAA component, so they do club gymnastics. I mean, Waukesha South, obviously, the Hahn brothers came from there. So.
Yeah. And I forgot what his name was from Marwin Evans, from Milwaukee Hamilton from, like, 2 years ago, was, like, a national-caliber gymnast as well. I was always curious about that.
Even in the girls, on the girls' side, though, if you're a national-caliber gymnast, you're not competing in high school for the most part. Some kids will, but most of the time you're competing on the club level. Yeah, that's a really it's an interesting sport anyway. You walk into the Whitefish Bay Gymnastics Gym, and they've got signs with, or at least this was the case around Valentine's Day, they had, like, glittery heart signs, not for their own gymnasts, but for all the other teams in their conference. Like,
really?
There's, I know we talk about camaraderie in sports, but I don't know if there's another sport like gymnastics in terms of truly, like, it being a community. Like, they love each other, which I'm not making fun of that. Like, that is, it's truly, that is part of the fabric of the sport of gymnastics.
For sure.
It is legit. It's not like, not like other sports where they say, you know, respect your opponent, you know, be friend. I mean, a lot of those sports, kids are friends off the court, but in gymnastics, it's seriously a fraternity. It's really interesting.
Yeah, probably more than anywhere else.
Yes, that is true.
Cool.
So those are the state championships. We should talk Badgers. You know what, though? First, let's talk a little bit, a different college basketball team. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Panthers are in the semifinals of the Horizon League tournament. Now, we're recording this on Monday. That's going to happen at 9:30 p.m. Central on Monday night. So by the time you're hearing this, they could be done, or they could be playing for a Horizon title, or they could be in the NCAA tournament as a 10 seed in their own conference. So it's just a tremendous, an amazing story. That tournament is nuts. The top three teams all lost in the first round. A team with a winning record did not win a game until game six of the tournament. So you had the two sort of play-in games, the three, you know, main portion of the tournament games, and every single one was an upset.
And then Northern Kentucky had to ruin it by going and winning.
Yeah, as the 4-5 in the 4-5 game, Northern Kentucky, the 4 seed, second year of Division I competition, and they're the favorite now as of Monday, so I'm sure they'll get upset because that's the way it goes. I mean, Milwaukee's left with three teams that they've hung with during the regular season. They split with two of them, and UIC, their semifinal opponent, they lost twice, but one of it was a 105-100 game, so they held, you know, they kept close. Just a fascinating development. So I reached out to Paul Oren. He does cover Valparaiso, my alma mater, one of the three victims, top three upsets in that tournament. So commiserated a little about that, but also talked about UWM, their chances going forward, not just in this year, but beyond. They've had some tumultuous circumstances the past year, and they've really overcome them. So we talked about that. We talked about UWGB, who's not going back to the tournament this year, but what their future holds, and had a pretty good conversation. So let's hear from Paul Oren. My guest is Paul Oren. He covers the Valparaiso University men's basketball team for the Northwest Indiana Times. But perhaps more importantly, this week he has been working with the Horizon League, covering the Horizon League tournament, Motor City Madness in Detroit, and it couldn't be any more madness. Each of the top three seeds in the men's tournament have gone down. That includes Oakland on a last-second shot, Valparaiso to UW-Milwaukee in one of the weirdest games ever, and the UW-Green Bay men's basketball team to UIC. Paul, what is going on there? What have you done? This tournament is ridiculous. It's totally upside down.
Well, I would joke that there's something in the water, but actually when I got to town on Thursday, they said that you had to boil the water. So there literally is something in the water here. I don't know what's going on in Detroit, but all the top teams are losing, and finally, on Sunday night, we had Northern Kentucky beat Wright State. JR, Northern Kentucky was the first team in four games, the first team, no, excuse me, in six games, the first team with a winning record to win a game in the Horizon League men's basketball tournament. It took six games for a team that had a winning record 30 games into the season to win a game. That's absurd. It's just I can't even explain how crazy this has been.
Yeah, and I mean, in the Horizon League, you've got teams in the non-conference that are playing tougher opponents. So there are going to be more losing record teams there than you'd see at a Power 6. So that doesn't stun me as much as the fact that the team that wasn't supposed to win won all five of those games, and then the only quote-unquote non-upset you get is the 4-5, and Northern Kentucky is now the de facto favorite going forward.
And this is only their second year of Division I basketball, right. So it's not like they have any experience doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, so crazy. And, I mean, obviously I want to look at UWM and then UWGB to a lesser extent since they're out here. And you, of course, Valparaiso University graduate, like myself, we were both heartbroken to see Valpo out, or at least, I guess, you're a member of the media. You're not officially heartbroken. I'm officially
heartbroken. I'm a Milwaukee native, so right. It was 6-1 way, half a dozen another. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that game as much as someone can enjoy a game that was 16-12 at halftime.
Oh, my goodness. What and 43-41 is the final. I mean, UWM did score 85 points in the previous game, another upset. Win, so it's not like their offense is completely deficient. I mean, what was that game? Was that game as ugly as it looks on paper? I watched it, and it was cringeworthy for me, but was it just good defense? Like, what? How do you explain a 43-41 game in a Division I postseason basketball tournament?
Well, it was a game that only a mother or Dick Bennett could love.
Dick Bennett,
I think. But I don't know that it was like a defensive mastermind like one would think. You know, again, when those early 2000s Wisconsin teams would hold teams to 45 points, you'd say that's great defense. When it's 16-12 at halftime and Valpo went 6 minutes and 59 seconds without scoring to start the game, it was really hard on the eyes. It was really difficult. But you know, there's all this emotion in the building coming off Youngstown State, this electric play to beat Oakland. This kind of shock is reverberating through the Joe Louis Arena because it was Oakland's tournament to lose. And then they lost. And then you've got Valpo, a team that limps in without their star, Alec Peters. Now, they played 2 previous games without him. He's out for the year with a foot injury. And, you know, the last game he actually played was at Valpo against Milwaukee, and Milwaukee kept it close the entire game. And I know that the Panthers had to have had some confidence going into the game, thinking if we played that close with Valpo on their senior night at their place and they had Peters, and now we're on a neutral court, we've already won a game here. They don't have Peters. Milwaukee had to be feeling pretty good about their chances. Now you still got to go out there and do it, and Valpo's stars did not come to play. I don't really know that you can say if Milwaukee's stars came to play, but Cody Wickman made a big 3-pointer. Every time Valpo would get some baskets, Milwaukee answered with a shot, whether it was Wickman or whether it was Bell. It was a really impressive kind of show of toughness and resiliency from Milwaukee to never let Valpo take control of the game. And I thought that Cody Wickman, in a bit of a meta trolling of Valpo, kept hitting his free throws. Because if Cody Wickman hits one free throw in that game against Oakland when he missed all 3 at the end of the game, if he hit one of them, Valpo's the outright champions. And instead, Cody saved his free throws until going up against Valpo, and I think he hit 5 or 6 of them, and he did very well. He had 11 points, and JR, he was the leading scorer in the game.
Oh, it's so brutal. Now, Wickman's a super interesting story because, actually, you talk about his free throw shooting. He missed the one at the end where Valpo had a last-second look that would have won the game if it had gone down because Wickman missed, I think that was the front end of a bonus.
So yes, it was.
So crazy, but Cody Wickman is such an interesting story. Last year, a lot of people are familiar with the turmoil at UWM. Rob Jeter leaves. Many players unhappy with that decision. Rob Jeter's asked it to leave. And several players transfer. Austin Arians, who's now starting at Wake Forest. Akeem Springs, who's starting at Minnesota. Both of those teams are going to wind up in the NCAA tournament, probably. Also, Jordan Johnson, who's sitting out a year at UNLV. I mean, you got 3 major, very good Division I basketball players that could be on this UWM team this year. Cody Wickman also was exploring transferring, decided to stay. UWM had a massive uphill climb under first-year coach Laval Jordan. There was a lot of learning curve, but they did win, I think, a few more games than people thought. And then, like you said, they show fairly well against a shorthanded Valpo at the end of the year, and then they come back and beat them in the tournament. I mean, at this point, I feel like you got to consider the year an unqualified success for UWM and for Cody Wickman. I mean, what a moment for that kid.
No kidding. And I shared a thought with him after the game, and I just said, you know, way to stay with it, because I thought that he could have bolted or been frustrated, and I give him a lot of credit. Similar to Steve McWerter, the senior a couple of years ago when Milwaukee was taken out of the postseason contention because of the academics, and he stayed. I give a lot of credit to Wickman, and I give a lot of credit to the Panthers for, you know, they came into this tournament as, I think, an 8 or 9 win team, and look, they're in the semifinals, and there are four 20 win teams in the Horizon League that are already home. And it is madness, but it's what we love about this sport. It's the fact that we can sit here on the semifinals and have Youngstown State and Northern Kentucky and then Milwaukee and UIC. One of those four teams is going to go to the NCAA tournament. Now, I have some thoughts as to who I think is best for the league to go to the NCAA tournament, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
UWM has a little bit of promise going forward. Some kids will be back next year. Bryce Enzi of Arrowhead High School is one that we keep an eye on out in Lake Country, and you know, the Prawls from East Troy are a couple others, but what do you see for them going forward? I mean, even as good as it is, and it's always dangerous to do a podcast when there's another game about to happen later that night. As we record this on Monday afternoon, UWM season could be over later on this evening, or they could be playing in the Horizon Championship game Tuesday night. But more than likely, they won't advance. I mean, I guess I don't know what the odds are, but they're stacked against them a little bit. What do you see for you?
Well, they were swept. They were swept by UIC during the regular season. UIC is got a lot of talented freshmen on their team, and it's going to be an interesting battle. Here's what I'll say. Milwaukee is getting kind of a second life here, or nine lives for the Panthers. I think we could use that analogy. But you know what? They're going to get a lot of great experience out of this. And, you know, while Valpo and Oakland and Green Bay, while their season may continue in the NIT or the CBI or the CIT or something, Milwaukee knows that when they lose their next game, their season is over. It's done. And so that kind of finality is something that maybe, you know, a lot of teams might allow that to press down on them. But I'm sure you look at a guy like Cody Wickman. He knows every game he goes out there that this could be the last game. And the freshmen that are on the team, they are the younger guys that are on the team, know that this could be their last time playing with him. They're going to keep going. And with each game they play in this conference tournament, it's going to prepare them for next season's conference tournament when they probably have a little bit more talent on the team or a little bit more experience on the team. Same thing with Coach Val. I think that he's getting some good postseason tournament coaching experience right now as a first-year head coach. This is only going to help Milwaukee going forward. I don't know what their recruiting looks like next year and the year down the line, but you got to think that they get a nationally televised game on ESPNU tonight in the semifinals. If they win, they can get to the title game. And you're printing recruiting capital when you can do things like that. When you can get – I mean, when's the last time this year that Milwaukee was on a nationally televised game? You know, Fran Fischilla may be calling a Panther game tomorrow night, and that would be huge for Milwaukee's program. It's been a while.
A lot of State fans will remember Cody Wickman with Pulaski, played in the state championship for them. Another recent state championship player would be Trev Anderson of Stevens Point High School. He had a promising career to start out here at UWGB. Still plenty of promise his freshman year, but missed, I think it was 11 games at the end of the season with a back injury, so that definitely limited what Green Bay could do down the stretch. What is their outlook going forward? Because I know this is a disappointing – I mean, they had to feel like they were a favorite after Oakland and Valpo go down, and then they fall to UIC and the same type of thing, 3-seed getting upset. So what's the prognosis for the Phoenix?
Well, you talk about Anderson, and Link Darner was actually asked after the game, could have Anderson played against UIC on Sunday? And he said that they dressed him, but he'd only had one or two practices over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and he didn't think it was fair. They actually at one point looked at each other and said, do we put him in? We could use him, but they didn't think it was fair to put him out there having not really gone through anything. Green Bay is going to lose a ton of talent. They got 6 players that are going to leave off this team, a lot of seniors. It was interesting against Green Bay and UIC. Green Bay started 4 seniors. UIC started 4 freshmen. So this time of the year, you think that the seniors, especially the fact that they won the conference tournament last year, that would be enough. But they're going to say goodbye to a lot of talent, and they've got 4 recruits coming in right now. They're going to go out and get a couple more. Link Darner is an exciting coach. I'll say this. Part of me thought if Green Bay made another run this year that his name would start popping up on other coaching positions.
Definitely.
And the fact that they got bounced right away is a detriment to Green Bay, but it may keep Darner and one game may very well keep Darner and Green Bay a little bit longer, because I think he's a very good coach, and I don't say this in disrespectful to him. I say that he's a very good coach, and he's going to be a hot coaching commodity within the next couple of years. And if they would have made it to the tournament this year, that next year time might have been right now.
Yeah, there was some buzz about that with him last year. They thought maybe last year was the right time to go after they got to the tournament. Another, speaking of heartbreaking losses for Valparaiso in that semifinal game where Green Bay beat them and then went on to the NCAA tournament.
Kudos to you for being able to talk about that and not having your voice crack.
Yes, it was a difficult time. I mean, in a way, for Valpo fans, it's not so bad this year because with Peters gone, the all-time leading scorer and rebounder in school history, probably going to play in the NBA, losing him was sort of a death sentence for their chances of winning a game in the NCAA tournament. I think if you're Valpo, you want to get there and get to the tournament and then win a game. So it's not as, you know, pretty much this was going to end unhappily for Valpo one way or another. So, you know, as somebody who is kind of cheering for UWM, being in Milwaukee, it's not bad to see them advance and maybe even go a little bit further. As far as the coaching carousel goes, I mean, LaVall Jordan's only been here a year, but given what he's done, I guess you've seen it too with Bryce Drew, where these coaches at the Horizon League level move up quickly or at least get talked about quickly. What sort of has to, I mean, are there signs around Jordan that maybe even he would be somebody who could move up in the world quickly, or are we going to need several years at Milwaukee before that happens?
I think with LaVall, what's different between Bryce Drew and LaVall Jordan was Bryce had been an assistant for a long time at Valpo. So those were kind of his guys that as soon as he became the head coach, he went and he won conference titles right away. I think next year will be a big year for LaVall because he'll have his own guys in there and he'll start to build. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, yes, they're in the semifinals of the Horizon League tournament, but yes, they have also won about 20% of their games this season in the last, you know, 72 hours. So they struggled. They're going to get better players. They're going to get more players. And I think that Milwaukee's a program you can't ignore going forward. I think Jordan's going to be there for a couple of years. And I think Milwaukee fans are going to love having him there for a couple of years.
You can read Paul Oren at, what is the website? NWITimes.com. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, on Twitter at NWI Oren.
Very good. If you're into Valparaiso coverage, as I am, he's somebody you've got to follow. I don't know if that's necessarily the people listening to this podcast, but
I cover all the Horizon League, and let me end my little segment here with this.
Sure.
The best thing for the Horizon League would be for somebody other than Northern Kentucky to win this tournament.
Really? Why is that?
So obviously, Northern Kentucky is the most talented team remaining. But Northern Kentucky is going to be a 15 seed in the tournament if they make it. Likely be a 15 seed. They'll go to Indy and they'll play Kentucky, or they'll go out west and they'll play Arizona or UCLA or something, and it won't end well for them.
Sure.
Yeah. The best thing for the league would be for one of these teams, UIC, a Milwaukee, a Youngstown, to get into Dayton at the first four.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get into the play-in, the 16-16 play-in game, and you have to think that a Horizon League program is going to be better than some of the other teams that end up there. And if they win that game, this is where we get into the economics of it. That counts as an NCAA tournament victory. And all the schools in the conference get residual effects, get financial effects off of gaining, and the parlance in how we talk about it in the NCAA is gaining a unit in the NCAA tournament. A lot of the league championships and a lot of the things that have been done to kind of promote and enhance this league in the last several years have been because of all that money that Butler helped bring in when they went to the NCAA tournament national title game back-to-back years. You don't really, in a one-bid league, you don't really rely on having extra money rolling in from the NCAA tournament. So if a play-in game can get there, and this is like a glass half full, glass half empty. Do you want the best team with the best chance to win? That would be Northern Kentucky. But the best chance to win what? Beat a number two ranked team or beat a fellow 16 team? A win is a win when it comes to the financials in the Horizon League. I'm 99% certain I'm right about all of this because that's the way it's been explained to me over the last day or two. But don't be surprised if there's not some happiness emanating from Joe Louis Arena. If one of these kind of lower seeded teams can pull the upset, it's a great national story. And then if they can go to Dayton and get a win there, then that helps all the other teams in the league, because they all get a little bit of a kickback from that. And let's be honest, as much as we like to say this is about the student athletes and all that, the NCAA, it is a business, and all these schools are in business with the NCAA. It's the sad part, the underbelly that nobody likes to talk about.
Right, and maybe even UIC would be too good a seed. We already have Jacksonville State in from over the weekend. That was a 4 seed in their tournament in a much, I would say, a lower-ranked conference. So you're already talking about one team that's probably ticketed for Dayton. There's going to be a lot of teams that get in that have lower-standing resumes. So, man, if your team you're talking about is Milwaukee, the 10th seed in the horizon, they would be guaranteed
Let's go.
A spot
Let's
in Dayton.
Go.
It'd be something.
I hope Pounce is in Dayton next week.
That would be incredible. But thanks again, Paul. I appreciate you talking to us a little bit. We'll talk to you again.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right, thanks to Paul for stopping by, talking some Horizon League hoops, some Horizon hysteria in the madness of March, JP.
Stop
How do you like that?
Stop it.
Stacking my cliches.
No, don't. Just quit while you're so far behind.
Yeah.
The Horizon League is so interesting, because it could have been, if Green Bay just would have beat UIC, it would have been Green Bay against Milwaukee tonight.
Yeah.
But instead, it's UIC, and a nice Milwaukee-Chicago rivalry for you. And with the top three seeds being out, like, it's almost to the point of, like, is Horizon League almost embarrassed to be sending one of these teams? You know, like,
Well, that's what Paul said. He said, interestingly enough, it's probably to the league's advantage to have anyone but Northern Kentucky now win, because if one of those bottom three seeds wins, they're almost certainly going to be in Dayton for the play-in games, whatever we call them. And how he interprets that to mean, if they win one of those games, they're going to get a chunk of change from the NCAA for winning a tournament game. That's going to get spread out through the Horizon League. That's good business for the Horizon League. So obviously the average fan doesn't care about the economics of it, but that could be great exposure, great business, great everything to be in one of those play-in games. Northern Kentucky is a 15 seed, is probably going to get killed by like UCLA or Gonzaga,
yeah,
or whoever trickles down to the two line, but if you get,
but
a team
really, if
those
you
first
if
round,
you make it to Dayton, and if you win, you get more money for winning a game.
That's his understanding. That's what he said. So
fascinating.
I know. I mean, it is an NCAA tournament game, right? And they did change the wording of that now this year. I think we're not calling those first round games anymore.
That was
last year.
That was last year that they went back to ending that madness of calling it the first round, because it was the first round.
I thought they had changed it last year for this year, but now you're right. You're probably right.
So,
but in any event, I think it's still the same thing, though. It's an NCAA tournament game.
That's crazy. Well, good for them then. Yes, the winner of the Horizon tournament is definitely heading to Dayton. I had tweeted that a documentary could be named "Destined for Dayton: The Story of the Eventual Horizon Winner."
Yeah, so. I think that's a good line. You should keep an eye out for my 68 degrees of separation. Did that last year. Going to do it again this year. A Wisconsin connection to every team in the dance. There is one if you look hard enough. No matter how absurd it gets, I can find one. So
how far do you have to take? Like, what's the craziest one you found?
I haven't really gotten too crazy. Usually it's with these automatic bids that you have to get really creative. I did do 6 degrees of Dwayne Bacon from the Florida State leading scorer, to get from him to Steve Novak, which was fun, but that was an intentional reach. There's a few that are intentional reaches. You have to go pretty deep on some of these, but you know, some are a little more outlandish than others. It's a good time. You can check for that at my community now and lakecountrynow.com shortly after Selection Sunday.
The hardest working man in regional community papers, aren't
you? Yeah, there's a title, right? So let's go back to the Big Ten. Let's talk about the Badgers. You were at Sunday night against Minnesota, a must win, and the Badgers delivered.
Man, that was nuts. Minnesota had won 8 straight, and Badgers lost 5 of 6. And like throughout the whole losing stretch, I kept saying they're going to break out of it at some point, because the shots that they're missing are just so easy that at some point it's going to happen. They're going to break out of it. And I don't know that they're completely out of it either. I mean, in the second half, they shot 50% from the field and 80% from three, which is certainly good. I mean, that's not to say that they can't fall right back into the slump, but I feel like one of these games, they're going to drop 100 on somebody, whether it's in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament. I mean, seriously, maybe not 100, but, you know, in the high 80s. Like, I just feel like this team is going to break out, and when they do, they're going to break out big. And so, yeah, the second half was fun. The Kohl Center was nice and loud. It has been a long time since I've been to a game there. I've just been doing a lot of more features, going to practices and stuff like that. But I've not been to the Kohl Center and shot a game there in a while. So that was – it was an awesome little afternoon, some senior day shenanigans both before and after the game, which was cool. Nobody was in that reflective of a mood. I think they're pretty business-oriented. But, yeah, it was a good day.
And I think the Big Ten tournament lays out really nicely for them. Still being the two seed, I know I don't want to kick on Iowa since they did just beat Wisconsin, but I don't think the Badgers would mind facing that team again, Iowa or Indiana. And then you get Maryland possibly in a 2-3 battle if it plays out that way. Maryland's a team that they handled, I think, pretty well. So this looks really solid. I mean, Purdue is going to have to get past Northwestern. I think Purdue's got the much tougher road
absolutely
to get to that Big Ten final. I think it's pretty debatable whether or not the Big Ten championship matters at all as seeding considerations go. History has shown they haven't really taken a huge – teams' destinies don't really change, pivot dramatically based on the semifinal and final round. But it is important for Wisconsin to get a little bit of their mojo back. Now, build off the Minnesota, maybe do two games in a row. That would be a nice sign for them, I think.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I was talking to other reporters during the game, and winning against Minnesota was the much preferred option, because if you would have lost that game, the Badgers would have been the 4 seed, which would have meant a first, I believe, a first round matchup with Michigan State, which is never fun, no matter how bad that team is. So you would have had Michigan State and Purdue in the same draw, as opposed to, you know, going down the other way, where I think it was like Northwestern, Minnesota, et cetera. So yeah, they are much better off for winning that game. It's another top four finish, which was kind of assured the other day, but still top four finish, their second. Nigel said it in the press conference afterwards that they lost, in his words, damn near every game in February and still took second place. So I think that says something about this team, which is funny to hear. So yeah, they're good.
Inevitably, you'll get a little bit of pushback. Well, people doubted us and disliked us, and here we are still the number 2 seed in the Big Ten, which, you know, my response to that is, come on, the league is bad, and you can be an average to above-average team and be at that level this year. But then again, the counter to that is, statistically speaking, the Big Ten is not dramatically worse than it has been in years past. They're still, like, I think the number 4 league in KenPom behind leagues that would be ahead of them anyway, like the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, so honestly, it's not as bad as people think. They could get like 8 teams in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it probably won't be that good, but it's just shocking. It feels like college basketball is down across the board, anecdotally, but I don't know if that's just sort of the bias of seeing the Big Ten up close and assuming it's so much worse than everybody else. I mean, I think it is a little bit of a weird year, but I don't know if it is as markedly bad as it feels like it is. This senior class for Wisconsin is pretty polarizing. There are a lot of people who feel like their departure will be a good thing, and of course you have to acknowledge what they've done in their careers, which is, you know, 2 Final Fours and a Sweet 16. You can't deny what they've done, plus continued the tradition of finishing very well in the Big Ten. So it's an interesting thing for Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I think it's dangerous just to look at how many teams get into the tournament, just because by sheer virtue of math, like, you know, a certain amount of teams have to be over 500 in conference unless there's a pure chaos scenario going on. So I don't know if teams getting into the tournament is as big of an indication as advancing. You know, like, I could see a scenario where the Big Ten almost gets shut out of the Sweet 16, save for, like, Purdue is, like, the only team I feel like should be in the Sweet 16. And even then, I haven't looked at their seed lately, but aren't they right around that 4 or 5 seed line? You know, that's no guarantee at all to make it into the Sweet 16.
I agree with you, but I will practically guarantee you that the Big Ten gets 3 teams in the Sweet 16, not because they should, but just because that's the way the tournament works. These games have no predictive value. So you're going to, yeah, they could get shut out. They'd get shut out if they had to play a series of 7 games against each opponent at every level, but they don't. So they're going to wind up with 3 teams in the Sweet 16. It's just the wacky ways of March.
Fair enough. At this point next week, we're going to have a bracket. That's crazy.
I know. I love it. That's what it is, man. It's March Madness.
I'm done.
I know you are.
You've
so tell
me.
Us what's... Yeah, I know. Before you die, tell me what's coming up on Spectrum Sports this week.
We have that Badger story. We have state hockey story. We've been getting content fed to us from our friends in Ohio who are in Indy covering the NFL Combine. So, we'll be hearing from Corey Clement, Ryan Ramczyk, TJ Watt, etc. on their experiences and their testing days at the Combine, as well as the Packers reports from there. Like I said, we have high school hoops on Thursday and Saturday. So we'll have, like I said, Pewaukee versus Eisenhower on Thursday. And then once the games get determined, we'll have another game on Saturday while I am at girls state basketball all day. So there you go.
Very good. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't think I'll see you this year at girls basketball. I'm not quite sure yet, but we have continuing coverage of all the playoffs at lakecountrynow.com, mycommunitynow.com. We mentioned round ball rankings, mentioned my oral history of the Germantown-Appleton East game. You should definitely check that out if you have not already at mynorthwestnow.com. Keep an eye out for my 68 degrees of separation. And next week on the podcast, I sat down with Steve Teets, our resident historian. We talked about the best teams in boys basketball history in the state of Wisconsin, the best programs, the best runs. Great conversation, which I really enjoyed. I was going to use it this week, but we're going to wait. We're going to wait next week to the point where we're at the state tournament in boys basketball. I think you're really going to enjoy that. So wait for that next week. Check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, we're on Audio Boom. We would love to get a rating, to get a follow, whatever it is that what you do with your podcast. Put us in the rotation. We'd love to talk to you every week.
I'm going to go ahead and say thank you for the heads up. Let me know about that 68 degrees because it's only 30 degrees from my favorite 90s band of all time. And, yeah, that's it.
60, 90. Oh, I was going to 38 degrees.
Yeah. Yes, please get me my November or my October precipitation of 38 degrees and rainy.
Yes, that is a March weather forecast. Thanks for listening to Initial Reaction, everybody. Check us out later.
Bye, friends.